Okay, so let us begin. We are continuing the Haftarah of Parshas Pinchas. Does somebody want to sum up what we read in the text so far? Basic storyline of what we read so far?
So basically the king got a decree, right, to kill all the false again.
Oh yeah.
Who said yes? After the showdown, basically he gets very upset. I guess we're not sure what happened to make him run away and to make this decree happen. But basically, he runs away, after getting killed, and hides in the cave, falls asleep. Mama puts him up, tells him to get up, eat, and then he goes to.
Excellent. Yeah. So, right, immediately after Har Carmel, so he gets a death threat from Izebel, the wife, the evil queen, the wife of Ahab. And he runs away, seems to be in complete despair. He davens that Hashem should kill him. He's not eating and he's not drinking, right? Which are, I mean, these are act like real, like nowadays, these are signs of depression. And the Malach encourages him to eat, drink. He goes to this, right, he travels for 40 days and 40 nights to Har Chorev. He goes into this Ma'ara. By the way, something about this Ma'ara. Does anybody learn Megillah? Maseches Megillah? Right? So Maseches Megillah, I think it's Daf Yutes. It says over there that this Ma'ara that Eliyahu Navi was in was actually the same Ma'ara that Moshe Rabbeinu was in when Hashem revealed himself, right? Like he put him like in the cleft of the rock. So there's another one of these connections here. And he says to, right, after he travels, he says to him, Malach Apo Eliyahu, what are you doing here, Eliyahu? And Eliyahu says to him, Pasuk Yud, Vayomer Kano Kinesi LaHashem, I have been very zealous for Hashem, Elokei Tzvakos. Right, the God who's the master of legions, ki azvu brischa b'nei Yisrael, the b'nei Yisrael have forsaken your bris, your covenant, as mizbechosecha harasu, they destroyed your mizbechos, your altars, ves neviecha hargu b'charev, they killed your neviim with the sword, v'yivaser ani levadi, and I am alone am left. And then they sought my soul to try to take it. He says, the Jewish people, they've forsaken the Jewish covenant, they rejected you, Hashem, they've destroyed your mizbechos, they've killed your Nevi'im, I'm the only one who's left and they want to kill me too. I have been zealous for you, Hashem, and this is what Klal Yisrael did. So Hashem says to him, I think this is where we left off, Vayomer, so Hashem says to him, stand over here on the mountain, because I'm passing. Right. This morning, we're going to do that. Hashem says, I'm going to pass before you. But it's not going to be quite like what we saw with the parsha, with the Yigivamidos, Rachman. It's going to be a little bit different. Though it could be it's the same message. So what happens? V'ruach gedola, v'chazak, mefarek harim u'mshaber slayim lefnei Hashem, lo v'ruach Hashem. V'achar ruach rash, lo v'rash Hashem. So what happens? Right? So Hashem says, okay, Eliyahu, I'm about to pass. I'm going to come through. I'm about to be here. And then there's this incredible wind, this like tornado that's tearing up mountains. But Hashem is not in this tornado, whatever that means. Okay, so it says that this, right, he's waiting for Hashem, and here it is, here's Hashem. And what comes, there's a massive tornado, it's throwing mountains around the place, but Hashem is not there. Okay. And then it says that there was a rash. What's a rash? Rash is like an earthquake. So, then there's a massive earthquake. And is Hashem in the earthquake? Lo barash Hashem. V'achar rash, and after the rash, Eish, a heavenly fire comes. It's burning up the place. Lo va'esh Hashem. And Hashem is not in this fire. So you have all these like natural disasters taking place, demonstrating great power, and Hashem is not there. And then, the end of Yibbeis, V'achar Eish, Kol Demama Daka. Has anybody heard this phrase before? Kol Demama Daka? Where do we know it from? Where do we know it from? Where do we know that from? Kol Demama Daka. So, one of the ways that at least the Ashkenazim would know it from is Unasana Tokef, right? Kol Demama Daka, that, right? Shofar Gadol Yitaka, Kol Demama Daka Yishama, right? We say in Unasana Tokef on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur that there's going to be this massive shofar, and then a Kol Demama Daka is going to come out. A Kol Demama Daka means a thin, small like voice, like a still thin voice, like a something like that, maybe, I don't know, something like that. Kol Demama Daka. So there's this tornado, there's an earthquake, there's a fire, and Hashem is not in any of those things. But then a Kol Demama Daka comes out. Okay, so what does the Kol Demama Daka say? Vehi kishma Eliyahu vayad pana ba'adarto. Right, Adaras Eliyahu, his mantle, he covers himself with his, you know, his robe. Right, so there's just a sound. It doesn't even say what the voice said. Just there's this voice, this sound, and he stands by Pesach Hamaara, opening the cave. V'hinei elav kol, v'yomer malach po Eliyahu. What does Hashem say this time? Same thing. What are you doing here, Eliyahu? V'yomer. What does Eliyahu say? Kanoki nesi la Hashem elokei tzvakos. I have been super zealous for Hashem. Ki azvu brischa b'nei Yisrael. Ez mishol chesecha horasu. Vesh neviacha horgu v'charev. V'yvasera ni levadi v'yivakshu es nafshi l'kachta. What does he essentially tell Hashem? Same thing. Let me just pause for a second. Doesn't matter what he said. Do we think this is a good idea? If Hashem asks you something, you give an answer. Then Hashem asks you again, right? I'm sure none of us have been there, but we have friends who got in trouble in high school, right? Or who are still in high school getting in trouble. So, right? The teacher, what are you doing here? Oh, well, you see, I figured I would go here, and then the teacher asks you again, what are you doing here? So, what are you not supposed to answer? Whatever you just answered, right? But Eliyahu, he said, Hashem says, Eliyahu, what are you doing here? So he said, oh, okay, I'll tell you. I was really zealous for them. They're trying to kill me. And he said, Hashem says again, Eliyahu, what are you doing here? And Eliyahu delivers the same exact message. Vayomer Hashem, Elav, Lech Shuv L'Darkecha, Midbara Damasek. Go back to the Damasek. Damascus. Uvasu Mashachta es Chazal Melech al Aram. He said, I want you to anoint Chazal to be the new king over Aram. Ve'es Yehu ve'nimshi timshach lemelech al Yisrael. Also appoint Yehu over Yisrael. He's saying, I want you to appoint various kings. And here's the big one. Ve'es Elisha ben Shaphat me'avel mechola timshach lenavi tachtecha. Elisha ben Shaphat, I want you to anoint him as the Navi in your place. And he's just talking about what's going to happen with these three people who are anointed. Then he tells Eliyahu Navi that the people who didn't worship the Baal are going to survive. So Eliyahu, then he goes out to find this Elisha guy. He sees Elisha. He's working with oxen. He's plowing. And so he gives him his mantle and says, you are going to be the next head Navi. Right? There were many, many Nevi'im at the time. Most of them were called the B'nei HaNevi'im. Not sons of the Nevi'im, but the Nevi'im's disciples. Really, because there's one head Navi. Eliyahu was the head Navi. Like a Stigl called the Gadol Hadar. And over here, he's saying Elisha is going to be the head Navi instead. And then basically what happens at the end, he tells Elisha he has the job. Elisha asks if he can go home to see his parents, just to say goodbye, because he's going to be now Eliyahu Navi's disciple, and following in his footsteps and learning from him and learning how to be a Navi and all that, and he brings a carbon and thanks Hashem. And Elisha steps into Eliyahu Navi's role. And then we're going to see, right, does anybody know the story about the Eliyahu going up to Shemayim, the chariot? Right, so that's going to happen soon after this. And Elisha, and all the miracle stories with Elisha are going to take place. So this is when Elisha becomes Navi. Okay, so now let's take a look. The Haftarah piece out of it. Okay, yes, the Haftarah of Pinchas. This story itself, what questions do we have, or what comments do we have, what thoughts do we have? What's going on in this parak? Does anything like sticks out that bothers us yet? Yeah?
Two questions. Will you ever wonder if there's assistance and being in all players, nothing ever happened?
Did nothing ever happen, or did something just happen?
Well, he lost his mantle. Not because of...
It seems to be. It seems that it's exactly. It seems to be that the reason he lost, right? He says, Eliyahu, what are you doing here? He says, Kanel Kinesi. Eliyahu, what are you doing here? Kanel Kinesi. I think you should appoint Elisha instead of me. Right? It sounds like there's something that was wrong with what Eliyahu Navi responded that made him no longer able to be the Navi of the generation. Okay. So now we have to question. It's hard to say such a thing, but we have to question the statement of Eliyahu Navi. Was that an accurate assessment that he said? Right. He seems to be generalizing. He's saying the Jewish people as a whole, the Jewish people, that entity, rejected you, Hashem. They destroyed your mizbechos. They killed your Nevi'im. Did they all kill the Nevi'im? Izebel actually went on a killing spree. The queen, the evil queen, she went on a killing spree trying to kill all the Nevi'im around. And she killed many of them. Ovadia, right, of the Treyasar, Ovadia actually saved, I think it was 100 of them. But most of the Nevi'im at the time were killed. It was Izebel and her people. Was it all of Klal Yisrael who killed them? Is everybody for Sukkah Hashem? No, I mean Elisha didn't. Elisha's tzaddik. So it is questionable what Eliyahu Navi said. And clearly, that's part of the condemnation. Yeah.
How come that Eliyahu had gotten to a point where he had given up hope? He saw it from that angle. Everything's gone. Everything's bad. It's not necessarily a punishment that Hashem put on him. Hashem just said, I hear it's rough. You've been working so hard. And especially after all this, all the miracles, and they just come in, and now they want to kill you again. They hear how you're mad. So you're out, step down, and I'll put in a new person. It's not necessarily a punishment.
Right, yeah, I certainly think so. Right, it's a consequence. Now, and there's going to be more consequences also. But that seems to be what's going on here. Right, that's one of the things. So what's this nevuah and this appearance of Hashem? Not in the... Right, he's not in the ruach, he's not in the rash, he's not in the esh, he's in the kol dvar medaka. What does that mean? Any thoughts?
It's the time for, when you said that, it's the time for this Hashem to become, that sounds good. I guess it's like the time of Hashem coming, that just represents the...
Yeah, but we get that from here. Meaning, anything we might know about that, about Hashem appearing in the Kol Noam Adaka, we know from this Navi. But what's he trying to tell Eliyahu Navi? I don't think Poshup Shat in the storyline, they're not talking about Mashiach. Could be Kedarshan. But Poshup Shat in the storyline, this narrative is not talking about Mashiach. Angie, yeah?
He's saying that, you were looking in the Rosh, you were looking in the miracles, the fire, the Kermanot, this and that. But that's not, the sound's going to change the people. I'm looking for the Kol Noam Adaka, the small amount of people that were still serving. Maybe I'm found among them and among the people that were still loyal. You were looking, trying to get the whole nation.
Okay, so you started off Very much in line with some of the Mefarshim, and but then at the end, the Kol Dama Daka was a little bit different. So the you're saying that the Rash, the Eish, the Ruach, those are Nisim, those are big open miracles, yeah. And then the Kol Dama Daka is what? It's people, because you would want it to be right, parallel.
Less noticeable.
Sorry.
Less noticeable. It's not up in your face. Not big.
Okay, fine. So it's not so good. So it's not people. But it's things that miracles could achieve, but they're not quite miracles, right? And this is what some of the Mefarshim explain. The Rabbag, for example, says that what's the Kol Dama Madaka, right? The Kol Dama Madaka is that he's saying that, there are different generations. Some generations experience rebuke from Hashem with harsh strength, powerful miracles, and over here it's going to be less of that. We see that I think it's going to go back to the Kano Kanesi. Maybe before we even fully answer this, we'll start to address the Haftarah piece. I think some of you have already started to think about it. But we'll take a look at what it has to do with the Parsha, because this answer, I think, is really going to be the clincher. This is going to take us home. The Kol Dama Madaka. What is that supposed to be? What is that Kol Dama Madaka? This Eish, the Ruach, the Rash, these powerful things. But you know what's really the most effective tool? Yes, the way Rav Hirsch puts it is that sometimes you need to, what the Har Carmel was, that's really what it's going to be, Har Carmel. That's where you kind of like shake things up. You loosen the dirt. You shake up the soil. And then what happens? Then you start to develop. You fertilize. You take care of the ground. But the first thing is a big thing to shake it up, but then small things. For example, you can imagine, you have a lot of Kiruv organizations and Kiruv Shabbatonim. So you have a big, awesome Shabbaton. It's exciting, right? And it's super flashy, and you have like this fancy Havdalah, and a massive Havdalah candle, and everyone's singing. And it's so beautiful, and someone's never experienced this before, never experienced the Shabbos, never experienced the Achdus of Klal Yisrael, and they get so emotional, I want to be from forever. And then, what happens if then the next day they go back to public school, and there's no Jewish friends, and no advisors keep in touch, and no, then what happens? Most often, what will happen is that they go back to normal. But it was such a powerful Shabbaton. It was such a great speech. I went to this special shiur, and it was the most inspiring speech I ever heard in my life. Right? It was like a pre-chakras nach shiur in Camp Pasch. It was the most inspiring speech I've ever heard in my life, by far. But then, it just went on with my day, and nothing else happened. When religious life is based on just these big moments, it's going to fizzle out. Right? There's the Eish, there's the Ruach, there's the Rash, there's these big things. There's the Har Carmel. There are these big things that can wake us up and shake us up and stir us. But what needs to happen after is the Kol Dama Madaka. What needs to happen after is the advisor with a follow-up phone call. Remember how inspired you were? Let's start learning a Sefer together once a week. You need the right, the shiur, and I take on a Kabbalah that now every day I'm going to learn for a few minutes because I was so inspired by the shiur. Meaning, it's not meaningless. Har Carmel has a purpose. The Eish, the Ruach, the Rash, they have a purpose. But that's not Torah. That's not Torah life. That's not Judaism. That's not religion in these big moments. These spiritual morphine shots that keep push you a little bit. But then you fizzle out. That's not what religious life is. Religious life is the day in, the day out. The Kol Dama Madaka. The small conversations. The developing of relationships. Now, what does this have to do with Eliyahu? Running out of time. But what this has to do with Eliyahu, Eliyahu saw a big Har Carmel. He said, this is it. Now we're good. This Shabbaton was like no other. You've never been to a Shabbaton like this before. heavenly fire, mass slaughter of hundreds of false prophets. You've never seen a Shabbaton like this. They're going to be from forever. And what does Isabel say? These terrifying words that was commented on by, I think Rav Dessler speaks about this. He says, in particular, tomorrow I'm going to do what you did to me. Kicha es machar. Tomorrow. Yeah. You know, says Isabel, you know, Elio, today everyone's really inspired. Today they had Har Carmel, they had the Rosh, they had the Ruach, they had the Ish, they had all that. But tomorrow, when they're not going to have it anymore, when there's no more Har Carmel, when there's no more Ruach, there's no more Ish, there's no more Rosh, there's no more massive Shabbaton, there's no more Charlie Harari speech, what's going to be? They're going to go back, they're going to forsake the covenants again, they're going to kill the Navim again, and you know what, Eliyahu Navi? I'm coming for you. And Eliyahu says, I can't do this. I tried so hard. Hashem tells him, it's not in the Ish, it's not in the Ruach, it's not in the Ra, it's in the Kol Demama Daka. Okay, Eliyahu, we did Har Carmel. This is great. Now we have to build. Now let's start the latte and learning it. Now let's start bringing people back. Now let's start building upon this. And that was something that Eliyahu Navi is having a lot of trouble with. And that's why Elisha has to step into the role. What does this have to do with Parshas Pinchas? So, I'm sure you already have some connections to Pinchas. We're going to start with those ideas tomorrow and hopefully develop a really beautiful idea in connecting this to Parshas Pinchas.